From WILL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Dana Cronin, in for Brian Moline. It's Monday, February 21st. Coming up, we'll hear about how vulnerable populations in Illinois are struggling to gain access to COVID-19 treatments that could keep them out of the hospital. But first, these headlines. Learning slowed across Illinois when the COVID-19 pandemic began. Now, schools have the money to do something about it in the form of federal COVID-19 relief. As Illinois Newsroom's Emily Hayes reports, Rantoul High School has used the money to establish teacher office hours.
At the end of each school day, Rantoul District 193 students can meet one-on-one with a teacher, social worker, or counselor. Megan Anderson is an assistant principal at Rantoul Township High School. She says students not scheduled for office hours on a particular day go home.
The philosophy is similar to a study hall, if study halls ever worked really well. But instead of having 30 kids in a room that you're trying to manage, you only have the kids that need to be there at that time or are making something up or getting more instruction.
Federal COVID relief is covering the cost of the extra bus routes and the extra teacher time. I'm Emily Hayes, Illinois Newsroom.
Even though John Deere's first quarter earnings were down compared to a year ago, the Moline-based company still says they're doing better than they expected. And Deere & Company spokesman Brent Norwood says they're optimistic about the year ahead. Norwood says despite lower government pandemic relief payments, global grain prices are rising.
Ultimately, you know, while our customer base was very appreciative of those government payouts during that period of uncertainty, you know, they would much rather have better underlying economic fundamentals, which is what they have today.
John Deere's first quarter statement on Friday showed a drop in earnings for October through December at $903 million, compared to $1.2 billion for the same quarter last year. Sales rose 5% to $9.5 billion. Norwood blamed the lower earnings on higher prices for materials and the strike by Deere workers last fall. University of Missouri researchers are studying how music therapy for premature babies affects their long-term brain development. Shayla Farzon reports.
When Angel Campbell was pregnant, she developed a serious life-threatening condition and had to have an emergency C-section. Her daughter, Ayla, was born 3 months early.
She was a little over a pound, like a little Barbie doll.
Ayla was rushed to the neonatal intensive care unit at MU Healthcare in Columbia, where she received music therapy, a technique that can reduce stress in premature babies. MU researchers are expanding the program to study whether music therapy can also boost brain development in premature infants. They plan to follow more than 100 children for 2 years and study their communication, motor skills, and emotional development. I'm Shayla Farzon.
And a brief update on COVID-19 here in Champaign County. Health officials reported 176 new COVID-19 cases over the weekend. The number of active cases is now 343. Two-thirds of Champaign County's vaccine-eligible population and nearly 63% of its total population are vaccinated against COVID-19. Still to come, there are COVID-19 treatments available for vulnerable populations in Illinois to avoid hospitalization. But where are they? That's coming up next on 217 Today.
Ailey, a new film from American Masters, is a portrait of Alvin Ailey, the trailblazing choreographer who founded an influential dance studio at the age of only 27. The director creates a biography that connects Ailey's past to our present. It's a portrait of an enigmatic artist whose search for truth leads him to center his choreography on the Black American experience. You can watch now as a friend of WILL. Learn more at will.illinois.edu/passport.
This is 217 Today. I'm Dana Cronin. There's a group of outpatient drugs that providers hope will be a game changer in the fight against COVID-19. They're therapeutics meant to keep the most vulnerable people out of the hospital. But it's impossible to say or trace who is actually receiving them. That's despite 2 years of a pandemic that has pushed equity to the forefront. Kristen Schorsch brings us this story.
At the loading docks underneath Rush University Medical Center on Chicago's Near West Side, Trucks line up to drop off food, sheets, and COVID-19 treatments to keep people out of the beds upstairs. The therapeutic called Citrobimav is whisked away to the pharmacy and stored on a shelf in a secure fridge the size of a walk-in closet.
We don't want to lose that. So we get a little bit of a special attention.
Erin Shaughnessy runs Rush's inpatient pharmacy.
We make sure that all the shipments that are coming directly from the state or from the state through the manufacturers are directed straight to the pharmacy.
Upstairs, patients will get Citrobimav through an IV to help kick the virus. Providers hope this therapeutic and others like it will become more popular. They're meant to prevent the most high-risk people from winding up in the hospital. Because even though Omicron has faded, this pool of people remains. But who is ultimately receiving the outpatient drugs in Illinois, and whether they're reaching the most vulnerable, is a mystery. The Illinois Department of Public Health is in charge of distributing these medications to providers across the state. But this agency is not tracking who is receiving them. Neither are many providers. And in Illinois, there are clear access issues about where patients can get therapeutics. Dr. Ben Brewer is a family physician downstate. In late January, he lamented the lack of treatment options for his patients.
Where's the meds? Like, are us downstaters that typically vote for Republican candidates in our elections? Are we on the short end of the stick?
There were infusion treatments available, but no pills to prescribe, an easier method for many people.
I would really like to get, you know, access to the pills, you know, because I think that would keep a ton of people out of the hospital.
The state didn't send outpatient drugs to dozens of counties. The providers who do get them are encouraged to share their supply. After WBEZ raised questions about which patients are receiving therapeutics, the state public health department asked pharmacies to start tracking demographics and for the federal government to require it. In an interview, Dr. Arthi Barnes with the Illinois Public Health Department said, quote, "You really hit the nail on the head. That is a big concern." Once again, disparities in healthcare access are affecting who actually gets these therapies. For one thing, people have to know they even have COVID. They need to have a doctor. Then for some drugs, take them within 5 days of testing positive. Dr. Scott Borghetti with UI Health describes this frenzy.
If you wait 5 or 6 days to get tested, and then your test result comes back a day later, by the time your primary care doctor found out, you know what I mean? Like, you may not even be in the window to qualify. And maybe more importantly, it's like the window that they really would have helped has passed as well.
A patient who has benefited is Josefina Andrade. She got COVID last month.
I felt like, okay, I'm congested. I have this cough. You know, I'm sneezing. Like, you know, going into the hospital, they're probably going to want to put me in a breathing machine.
Andrade was scared. She has diabetes, which puts her at a higher risk for ending up in the hospital. Her doctor quickly prescribed Paxlovid, a new outpatient therapy. Andrade had never heard of these pills, but she says she was persistent about messaging her doctor after she wasn't allowed to just show up in person.
I don't think a lot of people push. I think sometimes when you call these clinics and they tell you you can't come in because you have these symptoms, people just, they're like, okay, whatever, you know.
She and providers wonder about all the other patients who don't even know these treatments exist. I'm Kristen Schorsch.
And finally, in your forecast for today, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says we'll see partly cloudy skies with a high of 56 degrees. That's it for today. 217 Today is produced by Farah Anderson. Reporting today contributed by Emily Hayes, Herb Trix, Shayla Farzon, and Kristen Schorsch. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Dana Cronin, in for Brian Moline. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.